genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
We're turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is effective change. Each of my guests will examine how we affect others to change. My first guest turns the idea of consulting others, whether it's people or businesses, on its ear. He believes the first step to effective change is to actively engage in the change process. We'll discuss his theories from his book, Flawless Consulting. My second guest is best known as his role as B.J. Hunnicutt on the TV series MASH. He's also actively involved in effective change through Amnesty International. We'll discuss Osama bin Laden's assassination, intelligence gathering, and torture, and we'll decide if the ends justify the means. My third guest is a political pundit and strategist for the Democratic Party. We'll discuss the latest employment figures and what effects they may have on the 2012 presidential election. And if you've got an opinion to share, you can always call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Peter Block, is a partner in Designed Learning, a training company that offers workshops designed to build the skills outlined in his book. He's the author of several books, including Flawless Consulting, Stewardship, The Empowered Manager, and The Answer to How is Yes. Peter is the recipient of the American Society for Training Development Award for the Distinguished Contribution to Workplace Learning and Performance, and the Association for Quality and Participation President's Award. He's also a member of Training Magazine's HRD Hall of Fame. Peter is a citizen of Cincinnati, Ohio, and joining us from the Queen City. Peter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Well,
nice
thank
to be here.
Thank you so much for being my guest, and thank you for being a thought leader in this whole area of consulting. Now, most of my listeners, Peter, are not consultants themselves, but what I liked about your teachings is this, that the work really at the heart of it, any consulting arrangement, whether it's a formal consulting arrangement or an informal consulting arrangement, the heart of that is the contract. And most of us think of a contract really in terms of a legal document, but you talk about it slightly differently. You call it a relationship contract between the parties. So, Peter, explain to me how redefining any relationship, any contract to a relationship contract, in what ways does that help both parties share responsibility for the outcomes?
Well, just context, even though the book's about consulting, it's really about people who want to have influence in a world where they have very little direct control, which more and more is everybody. And so the illusion that I'm your boss, therefore I own you, is a quaint kind of bit of nostalgia. And so you say, well, how do we influence people? And that's, the idea is, well, basically work gets done by you and I getting clear about what we want from each other. And it sounds obvious, but it's not obvious in today's companies because mostly they're very patriarchal. People still think, well, I'm the boss, therefore you work for me, I'm going to develop you. And so you have a parent-child dynamic in most organizations, and this is arguing for partnership. And partnership grows out of you and I deciding how do we work together so both of us take real accountability for something good happening out of this work.
All right, and that's interesting, Peter, but you still have the official roles of boss, subordinate, that kind of thing that you have to live with. So, yes, it's a great idea to toss out the parent-child relationship, which is outdated in 1950s thinking, and to think more in terms of partnerships. But at the end of the day, any manager or any consultant really gets rewarded for performance. So in a relationship, when you're engaged like that, how do you make sure that the performance happens?
Well, let me just give you some elements of that. And the reason these ideas stick is because they do lead to performance.
Mm-hmm.
The goal isn't to end the parent-child, because people are more afraid today than they've ever been. So that's not going well.
Yeah.
But the question is, performance comes out of my being clear about what I want, not only from this project, but from you and how you're working with me. So I need to tell you, Bill, here's what I want from you on this project. Here's the time I need, the resources I need. I need you to be vulnerable. And then I have to ask the other person, what do you want from me? And that's the part for bosses that often never gets named.
Mm.
People don't say to their subordinates, okay, here's what I want from you. Now, what do you want from me? And without that, you don't have a contract. You know, you have half of a contract, and you don't have accountability. The challenge is to create cultures of accountability where people show up as owners. And so there's elements to this social contract. One is the exchange of wants. Another is asking people, what doubts do you have? In most high-control systems, people feel if you stand up, you get shot, and which means they don't feel they can have doubts. They got to be can-do kind of people. I'm a team player.
Right.
You hear all this funny kind of talk, you know. But these are political systems, and to be real about it, you've got to ask people, what doubts do you have? Oh, I have no doubts. I'm on board. And I never think that's true. Anything we're doing that's complex at all, people got to have doubts. The more the doubts are spoken, the less controlling they become later. So you say, do you have any concerns about control? Any way that you're vulnerable? These are powerful conversations. The other thing is you have to tell people what's working. Most of the time, we have a deficiency mindset. And so we're all problem solvers, and we want to talk about what's not working so we can fix it, where it doesn't really produce much of a future if you just talk about what's wrong. What produces an alternative future or creates something in the world is figuring out, what do we know how to do? What did we do right in this conversation? If you and I, Bill, we're working together, and we've got this 14-minute relationship, which we have today, at the end, I might ask you, Bill, what was useful to you in the conversation we just had? You might ask me, Peter, as a guest, what happened here that was useful to you? We'll learn something, and most of the time we don't have that conversation. We say goodbye, thank you.
Right, and that's the part of the nature of radio, but putting that aside for just a minute, Peter, looking at that, realistically, let's use that example, because that's an example of peer-to-peer. I mean, you and I are peers. Yes, we have this relationship that you've on my radio show. We're talking about things that you are a subject matter expert in. But at the end of the day, we're pretty much peers. It belies the subordinate boss relationship, where in today's economy, you've said it a couple of times, everybody's fearful. Nobody's going to own up to the fact that they are that they've got doubts, that there are deficiencies out there, because they don't want to be perceived as being not a team player and being the first to get cut off of the team.
So what I'm trying to give voice to is a countercultural movement. You're exactly right. These are the cultures we've inherited. And all I'm saying is, if you look at high-performing teams, if you look at places that create more with less, if you look at places where people want to work, it's where they found an alternative. Now, you can't go overboard. I'm not saying get your feelings out. I'm not saying if you're angry, let people know. This is more grounded than that. But if we want to produce something in a unique way, bosses have to say to subordinates, what doubts do you have? And they say, oh, I'm on board. And I would stay with it. I would say, I know you're on board. God bless you. Now, what doubts do you have?
All right.
Okay. And so we could act as peers, even though we're not. And we do it for the sake of the work, because most of the mistakes get made from sins of omission. People don't have these conversations. And so, you know, you do it with kindness and with generosity. But at some point I say, here's what's working. What doubts do you have? Here's what I want from you, and give you a chance to say the same thing. And if we have a history, this is even going to get worse. I say, how do you feel about working with me on this project? Now, most people might think that's life-threatening. But if there is an issue, if we have a difficult history, naming that history is our best shot at getting beyond it. Otherwise, people in the fear doesn't go away, but I can choose not to act on it.
All right. That's well said. We're talking to Peter Block. He's the author of the book Flawless Consulting, A Guide to Getting Your Expertise Used. And Peter, what I liked about your book and what drew me to invite you on the show is that you really apply your teachings to two of the most pressing issues that we have in society today, education reform and medical reform. Let's start with education reform, if we can. Your central thesis is that everybody is concerned about education, but nobody is looking at changing the relationship contract within our school. So in education reform, you took both a junior high school teacher and a high school teacher, Paul and Ward by name specifically, and you examined what changes they made in the relationship contracts between themselves, teachers, and their classrooms. What'd you find out from that?
Well, it was Ward mostly. He got tired of being a monitor. He got tired of being a surrogate parent, and he felt it wasn't good for learning. And so he just said, he said, I'm going to renegotiate the deal. We're going to be partners in this venture. Something more is required of you students. You have to get involved in deciding how do you learn, how do you want to judge your own performance, how do you want to work together on these projects. And in exchange, I'm going to stop monitoring you because it's not going well. The inmates run the prison. Kids set the culture in the classroom. And so Ward just decided he's going to, and so the reform here and in healthcare, it's about redistributing power. And you say, if the physician can act as a peer and collaborate around my health and my family's interests, I get healthy faster. I mean, these are the things that are producing results, cutting costs, automating, putting us on evidence-based regimes, high-stakes testing in schools. It's not working. You know, this isn't theoretical. This isn't I had a dream. This, what we're doing and calling reform, isn't changing anything. It's just creating more punitive and closer watched systems. And I love the notion that a hog never got fatter sitting on a scale. You know, and the idea that measuring something more tightly will improve it is an illusion. And so I just felt I wanted to put in that in this book and say there are people who are redistributing power and accountability and creating partnership agreements and contracts in these very, very difficult settings.
Well, Paul Block is my guest, and we're talking about really a countercultural movement and how he applies his learnings to high school teaching and Ward, who is the high school teacher in this case. But let's talk a little bit more about this, if we can, and dive a little bit deeper, Peter, because you say that the inmates are running the asylum in the case of students. Students walk into a classroom, they expect to be taught. It's like, teacher, I'm here, give me what you got, give me your best shot. And I understand that. But there's a certain amount of cynicism on the part of the students, on the part of the teachers, on the part of the parents, on the part of the unions and everything else. How did Ward cut through that cynicism to actually achieve the breakthroughs that he did?
Well, for one thing, he gave up his ambition. All right? And so he kind of, now he'd done this for a long time, so he was a credible human being. And the other is he promised results. He promised different outcomes in his classroom, his students. And it's hard work. You know, he has these seniors for a year, and they don't walk in saying, hey, I want to take more responsibility. I'm going to put my entitlement aside. They don't start there. But over time, those parents of those students say something happened in his class. And so the way you purchase your freedom is with results, is with outcomes, but you always do it at your own peril. And so people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die, you know? And they say, well, isn't there a safe way to do this? Well, not really. You know, he took a chance, but I think Ward and I think Paul, who's the thoracic surgeon in healthcare, both felt they just couldn't keep doing what they were doing because it wasn't working.
All right. My guest is Peter Block. And Peter, your book has a very interesting title, Flawless Consulting, A Guide to Getting Your Expertise Used. And one of the things that I thought about your title was somewhat ironic. When I first read it, I interpreted flawless to mean nearly perfect, if not perfect. But that's not the case. Define what you mean by flawless consulting.
Flawless means my goal is to do good work. It doesn't mean to get my way. And for the staff people, support people, bosses, consultants, the idea is that here are some structures you can use, and if you do these things, you've done the best you can, and then let go. Otherwise, the wish for perfection, the wish that everybody wants to work with us, that we can develop and grow all of our people, that we can meet all of our goals, that perfectionism actually gets in the way of performance, and it steals our humanity. The book is also a methodology for reclaiming and restoring our humanity, given the systems that we live in.
Well, it definitely is a countercultural book, and that's what drew me to it in the first place. Peter, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Flawless Consulting?
That they can make a living and be themselves at the same time, and that's how to be powerful. That's good.
All right, but those are big words. So give me one thing that my listeners can put to work immediately that will help change them in their thinking and turn them on this countercultural pivot.
Next time they feel stuck and they're in some conversation that's not going anywhere, do two things. Ask yourself, what do I really want from this conversation? And then say out loud to the other person, how is this going? Are you getting what you want out of this? Those are really concrete, practical things, because half the meetings we go to consume energy, and they should be producing energy. And so between now and 5 o'clock today, your listener's assignment is, in one meeting at one moment, say, are we getting what we came for? And then think, well, what do you want from me, and what do I want from you? If they have that conversation, something is bound to shift. And if it doesn't, then I have to recall the book.
Practical advice from Peter Block, author of the book, Flawless Consulting, A Guide to Getting Your Expertise Used. Peter, if people are intrigued by what you say and they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Designlearning.com, DESIGNED, Designed Learning, LEARNING.com. Or they can just Peter Block. I've got a website, but Design Learning is the place to go.
Designlearning.com. Peter, thank you so much for sharing your expertise. It's been a real delight. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill.